B-Pod Studios.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I absolutely despise Old England and everything about it. God, I hate that part of the country more than life itself.
Welcome to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the AFC Championship between the 12-5 New England Patriots and the 13-4 Kansas City Chiefs.
You can take your cane and you can take your chowder.
Your lobster rolls are amazing.
You can take everything that you have, your arrogance, your pompous mountains and Maine.
Patriots staff were told me early in the week Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long.
You can take it all, and you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
He throws it down the left side for Dorsett.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
My God!
Get a squid!
Brady takes the snap. Gives to Michelle. Runs it right. First down and more on touch. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Oh,
as they regain the lead.
It's the balls, man.
Short motion by Allen left with the reset. A give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
And you take 15 plays and you shove it right down their throat.
Well, wait until Sunday night at 9 o'clock when they lose the game to the Chiefs and all the chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, we're not going to another Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat us.
Brady takes the snap. Dropping back. Throws it right underneath. Off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. Basically, Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Oh, wow. 55. Line in the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty. We play third down.
Brady is going to turn and give it to Burkett. He runs left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And they've regained the lead with 39 seconds on the clock in this AFC Championship.
I mean, what a run by Burkett to take the lead.
Kick by Butker. Head to the uprights. The kick is good. And Butker.
Clutch.
Sends this game to overtime.
Heads.
Matthew Slater.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
Brady in the pocket. Throws down the middle. Edelman open in midfield. Makes the catch. And then lunges forward across the 45. Brady firing down the middle. Caught by Edelman. On the run.
Here we go.
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Brock makes the catch at the 20. And he's tackled. On the shoelaces by Berry as he skids to the 15. First down for New England. Second and goal to go from the 2. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Kiss my ass twice.
What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
Unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Maybe Brady was that excited because he's retiring. Troy Brown is brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felker's Mover DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities, dnvanlines.com. Mr. Brown, coming off a late night on the television, where they forced him to stay until 12:30 for some unknown reason, but he was out there.
He was
out there having fun.
Are you jaded by all this? I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, it's become a joke that you can't get used to that.
No, you can't, man. And this team has a knack for finding a way to make every postseason game that they play in, the greatest postseason game they play in. So, some kind of way they figure out how to do that, man. It's just amazing. I mean, 8 years in a row in the AFC Championship game, you know, and just, what, it's fourth year in a row Super Bowl, or the third year in a row?
It's four out of the last five years. Yep.
I lose track. So, but
I only know about the city that we go to. Yeah. That's how I remember.
It's absolutely nuts, man. And you never get tired of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, as a player, as a fan now, you know, you always look forward to the next trip.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just crazy.
Now it's weird. Real quick, I'm sorry, Fred. Looking at the road that they had to take to get there,
yeah.
I mean, you picked essentially what were the two best teams that were in the AFC on that. So they obviously deserved it. But I was thinking about looking back on, like, when you played and all the roads, do you think, like, maybe, like, what year was it that you guys played the Colts and Pittsburgh? And Pittsburgh had just, like on the road on the way to the Super Bowl.
They were 15-1 that year.
Yeah.
It was 04.
Yeah, okay. So maybe 04 is probably the toughest road that
Brady
they've had.
Brady was sick that day, too, right? If I remember right.
Yeah, I think he was, because there were several guys that got sick. So, we went there early because of the snow, and then we had a couple of guys that ended up becoming sick, and I know Brady was one of those guys.
He had diarrhea. Yeah.
Hooked up to an IV before the game. You're probably right.
He had diarrhea.
A source close to you told you that?
No, I noticed his pants.
That's one way to find out. It is. And the Colts were like, what, 13? And they had won a ton of games. And, right. and that was, I think, Manning was having an MVP year. So I would say that's probably the toughest. But this has got to be right next to it.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely the toughest road, I think. And this particular team, they took the road was a little bit bumpier than normal.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of things they had to overcome. I mean, they brought some of the stuff from last season and rolled over into this season, early in the season, you know, contradicting the owner or whatever it may be. And then, you know, them trying to find their identity and exactly who they are. Receivers was a problem at some point. You know, you saw some frustration. Lost some games in December, back-to-back games in December, which you never see them do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of questions remained around this football team. But, you know, somehow, some way, man, they figured it out. And they turned it up another level like you should be able to do when the playoffs start. You know, for whatever happened in the regular season happened. But when it was time for the playoffs to start, man, they found another gear, which you can't win any games in the playoffs if you play the same way you played during the regular season.
Is this the definition of flipping a switch?
This is the definition of flipping the switch, man. Flipping the switch. I mean, they did an outstanding. I mean, I have no complaints about the way they play so far in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
nothing. There's not much you can criticize them about. You know, you can point out a few mistakes here and there, but that's playoff football, and they seem to overcome them all, and then won a tough game down the stretch against a really, really good football team in a ridiculously loud stadium, a tough place to play.
Yeah, that what was the deal with the offensive line just all of a sudden becoming completely dominant?
I'm telling you, it's just something about the moment, man, that changes your tempo from regular season mode to playoff mode. And they were able to do that, and they dialed in, man, and everybody believed in it. And, you know, the preparations, there's a little more intensity to that. You spend a little more time over there. I mean, the coaches are after you, and Tom's after you if you're on offense. Defense, too, but yeah, everything just changes, man, and you hit that switch, man, and this team figured out how to do that, you know, down the stretch, man, because there was a lot of question marks around them.
Oh yeah,
going in there. So,
well, is this kind of just what you're going to have to expect from here on out as a Patriots fan, as long as you have older players on this team? You're almost like the conserving energy, you know. It seems like, I mean, Gronkowski all of a sudden looked great. Like, I mean, he looked like, you know, a Gronk from a couple years ago.
Edelman looked like he was back in his fifth season again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he did.
I mean, he's second behind Jerry Rice now in playoff receptions.
Yeah, way far behind.
He ain't catching. but he's second.
Didn't the broadcast get that wrong, though? Didn't they say that he was like first? He needed two catches to become first.
I think it might be postseason.
Postseason, he's like, Jerry Rice has like
151.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's Edelman's like 110. No, I think he's over 100.
Is that 105, 106?
Yeah, I think he's over 100.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh. Well, Edelman?
If you put up those kind of numbers, I mean, how can you keep him out? But, you know, I think some of the guys that are in there find a way to keep him out. Oh, he's a slot receiver. That doesn't count, you know. And which is ridiculous. Which, you know, it's like they keep kickers out of it because they're kickers. You know, you guys may agree with them, but I've had some great luck with kickers in my career. So, It's a part of the game.
You know?
It's a part of the game. So, you know, I mean, they deserve to be in there. And, you know, I think Edelman has done a fantastic job, man, at doing his job and doing it very, very well. There's a Super Bowl that if you don't catch the ball inch from the ground, they don't win.
Yep.
Right.
You know, and then catches he made yesterday on third down, you know, getting hit in the back or whatever it may be, you know, they don't win.
Yeah.
So he's made a ton of clutch catches over his career. And then putting that – you second behind Jerry Rice in postseason play.
Yeah, I don't see how you can't get in,
in my opinion, on the first ballot.
He made some dopey shirts.
Might be pushing it, but on the first ballot.
Ty Law can't get in on the first ballot. I'm not positive that happened.
That's just because he played for the Patriots. So
You think there is a hatred towards – Patriots when they enter.
I don't want to say too many negative things about the situation because they'll hold that against Ty too because I said something, okay. You know. But yeah, I mean it's a. I think it's a. The Patriots have their players don't seem to get into Pro Bowls as often, you know. They don't seem to make All Pro teams as often and et cetera. So I think it's something to it. Like I mean they had to fight to get Andre Tippett in there. You know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to fight tooth and nails to get him in, man. And just to get guys on the ballot has been like a struggle.
Do you think that people will knock Edelman's numbers because it's the greatest of all time that's thrown to him?
Yes.
Like, they'll discount his numbers?
It'll be criticized, too. And then Tom's numbers will be criticized, too, because he was throwing to a slot receiver. You're not saying he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No, you're not saying that, are you?
No, but you'd be surprised.
I would be extremely surprised if Brady wasn't in first.
You have Brady and Gronkowski, and then you got to
– Not Welker.
Listen, if you put in Welker, I mean, you got to put in Edelman.
If you put in Welker in, you definitely got to put in Edelman. I mean, he's second behind Jerry Rice. Like with Tyler. Ty's like – Peyton Manning, if they were arguing he was the greatest quarterback of all time, well, nobody picked him off more than Ty.
Best defensive back on one of a great dynasty in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
All right. We have Troy Brown in studio, 617-779-0985.
Sports Hutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Men rusher stands in, he pumps, he throws to the near side. Hold Edelman it. Contacted, looking for a flag, and he won't get it to the 40-yard line.
Wow, we got a hold back here on somebody.
There is a marker down.
This is a foul. Blocking the passer, defense number 95. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Hand to the
bluffing
head.
The passer, came down with a chop. Across the left shoulder of Grady, did he graze the face mask or the helmet?
Listen to the crowd. Man. They're seeing the replay going, oh, well.
Did he graze the helmet? He didn't even do that, but I just
he,
like
he, that. He glazed it.
Yeah, exactly.
he glazed his helmet.
All right. Troy Brown in studio. Diesel, hello.
Good morning, and much respect, Troy. Much respect, bro.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Just want to get your take on the, you know, the talking heads discussing the only reason why the Patriots are, you know, good is because of the cesspool that we particularly reside in the AFC East. And a lot of people don't recall the cesspool in the NFC West when the Niners were, you know, blowing teams out and Joe Montana. So do you think that that, you know, will affect some of the individuals that also go into the Hall of Fame? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Oh, well, I don't, there's a lot of things that people factor into it that I've heard all kinds of excuses why the Patriots players can't get into this, can't get into Pro Bowl, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So won't be Hall of Famers, and it's the system, and it's like, you know, and I'm like, well, do you just go out there and play slant-lot football when you're playing for your team?
Yeah.
I mean, the guys were saying, I mean, it's like everybody plays in the system. So, and some people play for good coaches, some people play for bad coaches, you know, and that's just a part of the game. And I you can't hold it against the players for being able to go out there and execute, you know, what happens on the field. I mean, coaches can give you great game plans and, you know, but if you can't catch and you can't get open or if you can't, you know, make the right cut as a running back, you can't throw the ball well, then you're probably not a very good player. Mm-hmm. So that's what it comes down to. So you should be judged on what you do and not by who you played for or what team you played for or what system you played in, because everybody's in some kind of a system.
So what did you think about? Okay, we were talking about this earlier. The guy who was offsides,
D Ford,
who essentially cost the game.
We can look at that play. Right? That's one of the big plays of that football game where you get an interception, you know, a tip pass, and game is pretty much over.
No, game's over.
Yeah. Game is over. game is completely over at that point. You got to. I kind of attribute that to the Patriots and the way they were pushing the ball down the field. I mean, sometimes you get guys, we were talking about it on set, you get guys that just get tired, get where they are. You're looking at the ball, you're all cockeyed, and, I'm good, and you get down on your knees before the ball snaps because you're trying to catch your breath and you put your hand down. So anything could have happened on that particular play, but, I mean, that was just, he was way offsides, man. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like for him after the game? Does everyone kind of cut him a break, or what goes on?
It's a few guys might pat him on the back. You know, most of the guys are going to pat him on the back, but I think the fans are really going to just give it to him. So I don't know if they'll forgive him for lining up both sides in Kansas City. After 49 years of not being in the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
they won't. Yeah, he's got to play for somebody else next year.
Okay, so Zolak, floated it out there that maybe Brady saw the flag and then force something into.
He didn't throw that pass that he threw. and Gronk didn't tip it up. He tipped it up in the air because he saw the flag too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Gronk, yeah. Let me tip this ball up in the air and make this game a little more dramatic than what it really is. So, but you can look at that play as one of the main plays. But I got to go back to the first half and the way the first half ended.
Yeah.
And Mahomes taking that sack.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For 14 yards.
Got him out of field goal range.
They just did a big pass down the field to Tariq Hill's only catch of the game, by the way. So give them a lot of credit for coming up with that game plan, too.
Yeah.
And then that Patriots defense knocking them back out of field goal range and forcing them to punt with like 3 minutes to go, I believe it was, 3:18 or something to go.
Yep.
And then they took that situation from the Chiefs possibly getting at least 3 points, going into halftime 7-3 maybe, and now making that a 14-0 game before the half, and Kansas City getting the ball coming back out because they went right down the field in 3 plays and scored after the half. So that I go all the way back to that part of the game as probably the key part of the game is what the Patriots defense did in that situation. So,
and we talked about Kyle Van Noy, how he just seemed to be everywhere.
This was his best game, I thought, by far.
Yeah, in the first half, you couldn't have played better.
Yeah, I mean, he put him in bad situations early in the game. Mm-hmm. And, I gave him my MVP last night.
So, oh, did you really?
Last night, so yeah.
Yeah.
He got it. So, I mean, he had two sacks, he stripped.
10 tackles, I think.
10 tackles all in the first half, yeah.
Yeah, no, he looked great. And so did, I mean, the entire defense over the past couple of games, ever since the postseason started, it's been, I mean, I know they obviously gave up a lot of points at the end of the Chargers game, but that was garbage time. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, you give up that amount to the Chiefs, it's tough to hold those guys as much as they did.
Yeah.
So what changed? Like, what has changed from the regular season to the postseason?
Just
with those
guys? Intensity, man. The intensity, they changed the defensive game plan up somewhat. I mean, I think Bill basically said, look, Stephon Gilmore, you're my highest paid corner. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you one-on-one with that second best wide receiver, Sammy Watkins. But Sammy, he got him a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to take our third or fourth best corners and we're going to put him right up in the face of Tariq Hill. And we're going to take our fastest guy that we have on the field. We're not going to play him in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put De'Ron Harmon on the bench. And we're going to bring in McCourty. And we're just going to put him over the top of wherever Tariq Hill goes, directly over the top of him. So, and everybody else, you find your guy and you match up. you match up with your guy, and we're going to play straight-up man-to-man defense and dare them to beat us.
But it's also pressure on the quarterback.
And also, they got a lot of four-man pressure on the quarterback, which even the guys that I work with though on NBC Sports Boston, they were a little skeptical about the Patriots being able to get pressure with the four-man rush. And last night, they showed up last night in that four-man rush, and they were able to get to him and get some big time. He had three or four sacks for over like 40 yards. Four sacks over 40 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
40 yards lost. It's absolutely nuts.
And what's scary too is that he's just going to get better. I mean, he's going to figure out how to throw that away. And I mean, he's already unbelievable. Well, so
if there's any bright spot for the Kansas City fans out there,
they got a good one, man.
You're probably going to be pretty good for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the real deal.
For him to come out of halftime?
I doubt if it'll be before Brady retires.
Yeah.
Like before he falls off that cliff.
Right.
You know, if my time is about to expire, I'd like to fall off a cliff like that. <You know?
laughs> At what point
it's
does
a
it...
nice gradual descent into wherever I'm going, you know? So yeah.
At what point do you want to just live your life, though, instead of like having to go through all that crap that he has to do in the off season and in the eating the way he does?
If I could still be playing, I would be playing right now.
Really?
You know? Yeah, if I was on this practice schedule, the new rules now, probably still be playing.
Yeah, you made that point.
I'd probably
a lot.
Find a way to be playing. I don't know where I'd be playing at, but I'd be playing for somebody doing something, you know. So, I mean, it's hard to walk away from it. It's what you grew up doing. If you're a little kid and you know, 8, 9 years old and you're playing in the backyard and you play your first Pop Warner game, damn, I mean, you look at, you turn 36 and you got to walk away from it, you know. And it's like, you can never fill that void.
What if you're Gronk? You know? What if you're Gronk after this?
What if you're Gronk?
Yeah.
If you're Gronk, man, that man's taking a beating.
Yep.
So he's taking a beating. He's made a ton of money. And again, I think we discussed this a few times on here. It's just you gotta make it right. This the best decision for you. And my opinion is that he really needs to seriously think about how he's going to be able to enjoy his money.
Right.
You know, and his post career.
And he's not going to be
as a man that's had like, you know, 7-8 surgeries.
Yeah, yeah. And he also, you know, isn't going to get paid nearly what he was used to be paid, so maybe what he can make off the field, it doesn't seem that low now compared to what he might get paid next season.
No doubt.
So that probably was the Super Bowl's probably his last game because Gooch was there.
Goon
was there.
Goon's his driver.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, it seems probably obvious to everybody else, but I'm telling you, when you're in that situation. Yeah, it's almost like the coach has got to make that decision for you by not signing you back or something, you know.
Or the owners are not paying you.
The owners are not paying you or something. So,
yeah.
And you might have to make the decision to go play for somebody else or whatever it is. But he's already said he's not playing without Tom Brady. So,
if he comes out, we were talking about this. Let's say he has another excellent game like he had yesterday during the Super Bowl. Do you think the Crafts are still going to try to shortchange him as far as his money?
Yes. Have you not watched what this franchise has done over the last 15
Troy
years?
Troy has not answered.
He won't. They won't offer him the minimum. I mean, they won't go that drastic on it, you know. But I don't think it would be what every player feels like it is in their mind that they're worth. You know.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be close to that. It won't be close to tight end maximum.
What if they half it? Like what he's making now?
I think he might. He may consider that, man. He may take that offer.
He'll take pay cut.
You take a pick, and they're winning. I mean,
but it's got to suck to go out there and not be yourself. It's got to suck to go out there and not be able to do things.
Yeah,
that you
but
used
he made some pretty big crucial plays yesterday, and then what was it? The one catch the week before.
Yep.
So I mean,
these are not.
I know there's one catches and there's flashes of what we've seen from Gronk, but this past game was more like what we've seen in Gronk in the past.
Yeah, but you just got to remember that you really weren't able to tackle him. I mean, he was just such a beast that...
He ran over a couple guys yesterday.
But six catches for 79 yards.
Yeah.
And for him, that's...
Those are more Gronk-like numbers.
I know, but we're used to, when he is at top speed, he's better than that. And I agree with Fred.
I mean,
he's back a tick or two from what he used to be, and he's not getting any younger.
What's his value to what you want to do as a New England Patriots?
It's half,
and if Gronk feels like that's fair, and he comes back, they will find a way to use him, and he still blocks like a maniac too.
Yes. There's no question.
Well,
in the
Chargers game, he was excellent.
It was those
holes that they had for Sony Michel. Who, by the way, you want to talk about a guy who's made a name for himself during the postseason? Yeah. He's been excellent.
You know, hey,
how can you not Sony Michel?
Because I give all the
Ferguson.
The holes are big. Holes are very big. Anyone can run through those.
Yeah, I mean the offensive line was dominant.
The people gave him a very rough time. You know, back in when he came up the Jacksonville game.
Yep.
Why did he keep running? You know, and I was like, you know, yeah, I said it too. I mean, it's like, but I didn't say he sucked the blood or anything like that. But
I didn't say he sucked. I don't think that he did anything particularly special.
Yeah, but there's some backs that can get through those holes and give you 5 or 6 yards, and there's some backs that can turn it into 12, 13, 14. I think he's probably that guy that can turn into 12 or 13 or 14 yards on a consistent basis.
I don't know. It seems even when they have James White in the backfield and they run up the middle, he was picking up huge chunks.
They're running the check with me situations there, where if they come with the big guys, then we're going to throw it. They come with the smaller guys on the second level, whatever, or up front, then we're going to run it because we got the advantage on them, you know, blocking them.
Yeah. I just don't see much of a difference between Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead.
Well, he broke the record for the most rushing touchdowns.
He had 19 carries in the first half.
Yeah, you think he could give
it to Burkhead 19 times in the first half?
Maybe not, but I don't think that Sony Michel has done anything that is like mind-boggling, like that, you know, you go, oh, wow, this guy's incredible. I think that offensive line was incredible.
The offensive line has been incredible down the stretch. Very incredible. I give him some credit for being patient with his runs and then being able to get some extra yards out of him. Okay. We disagree.
I don't think he was worth a first-round pick. I will say that. I don't believe
it. It was 32nd. You went with the last pick in this first round?
It's still the first round, baby. Yeah. All right. We'll have the headlines. We'll be back. 617-779-0985.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To have a Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce skills competition at the Jay, where you're going to have an opportunity to win a prize pack that contains opening day tickets to the Royals, a one-night stay at the Westin the night before the Super Bowl rally at Union Station, the opportunity to watch the Super Bowl rally with us from the games deck at the Westin Crown Center, and have an opportunity to win what I think is a pretty sweet prize package with Royals opening day tickets and the ability to stay the night at the Westin and watch the parade from the rooftop deck overlooking Union Station on the day of the parade in downtown Kansas City when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right? Troy Brown is brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felger's Mover. DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities. DNVanLines.com.
I see you shaking your head over there, man. Troy Brown, when you hear that Kansas City radio station, Bob Fesco, giving away a prize pack to overlook the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that some kind of way Belichick got his hands on that sound and probably played it in the meeting room some kind of way.
Yeah.
So, because we had access to, well, he played for us. He played the route that they were planning in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
So he played that for us. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got a hold of that some kind of way.
Okay, so tell me about that day. Like, you know, you're all sitting there, and, like, how does he present all of this to you?
It basically comes up and, like, you know, you wouldn't know what to think about you, you know, this and that other day. These Jeff's already planning the parade route. They already know what route they're going to go, and they had, like, two of them worked out, and they did this and did that, and, you know. Well, we need to deliver them some news or whatever. We got a game to play still, you know, and all this stuff. So, and it's kind of like, lets you listen to it, and you're like, oh, man.
And that works, too, doesn't it?
It does, man, because it gets under your skin. Like, these guys are really planning all this stuff, you know, and they hadn't even played the game yet.
Bob Fesco, morning man in Kansas City, could be responsible.
He could be responsible for the butt whipping they took. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Wonder how Bob is this morning. How is Bob this morning?
He's not having a good morning. I actually have proof, and I've been told, and there's no doubt he is having a bad morning this morning.
Is he part of the affiliation with the Chiefs?
No.
I don't know. Okay, then, because I'll give it. Who gave that package out for him to put
the
on the air?
Radio station.
Yeah, it's like the radio station.
So, yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure the Kansas City fans are, you know, going to take your quote and they're going to turn it right back around on him. And God bless Mr. Bob Fesco this morning.
I mean, it's a catch 22 because A, you're getting blamed, but B, you control such power that you can move an entire outcome of a game based on.
He took Bill Cowher's comments. They had a press conference after their divisional win. I mean, the divisional win they had. Mm-hmm. I forgot who it was that they played, but anyway, Bill Cowher, and he had some guys up there, you know, and He was up talking about, I'm giving my guys a day off so they can get their family situated and make arrangements for the Super Bowl and all this stuff because we don't have a – it's going to be a short week. We don't have the 2 weeks to get ready for it. So I'm giving my players a day off. And he played that for us.
Oh,
you're talking about some mad guys. Holy smokes, man. Guys were like, they were ticked. Yeah, we still had guys like Brian Cox and all those guys.
Oh.
On the team. So, you know, so it was like, man. They had a little old school in them, you know. So, but, man, you're talking about some mad guys. Guys were ticked off about, how you going to get them? They're selling buses and all this stuff. They put up flags on the hotel down there. And you got to play the game first. So, man, it was pretty intense after we heard that.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, good. It worked. So take that blame, Bob Fesco.
That's right.
So the Rams, I thought that the Chiefs were the best of the teams left.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I do. I agree.
Okay. So how do the Patriots match up against the Rams? From what you see.
Well, I mean, I had some guys that disagree with me on that part of it, but they've given me the fact that the Rams had superior interior rush with this. Yes. They said it gives Brady trouble up the middle. You know, yeah. You got Sue, who may come out and play lights out, you know, in that game. And then you got, of course, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That can push the pocket. So that's another place where they can try to cause Brady some problems. You know, and I brought up the point that, you know, maybe – you know, Aqib Talib, who's one of those guys that just doesn't quit.
Yeah.
You know, and he might be half crazy, whatever it is, but the guys that I know around here that talk about him, they, man, they loved him to death the way he competed
all
the time. He may not be the same player he used to be, but I don't put it past him to push his teammates to the limit.
Yeah, you saw
in this game on Sunday.
Yeah,
you saw that yesterday, is that you could see him like firing up the defense.
Getting at the guys. Yeah. So he could have that team, that defense playing out of their mind in that game. And then you got another guy that may be worse than him when it comes to mental stability.
Oh, Peters?
Peters. Yeah. So
there's no way they give Peters like a dais at the – or
a podium. At
a
the
podium. At
no
the,
way.
No yeah. way.
He went after Sean
Sean Payton
after the game.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
You keep talking that stuff. We'll have a little gumbo afterwards.
No doubt, man. I'm like, going to the Super Bowl, dude. Just go on and start celebrating with your players.
Eli Apple was going after McVay, so that was pretty funny, too.
Oh, really?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was following him down the sidelines.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
But that's
he's another head case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see what happened with Gurley yesterday, and you know, for being such an amazing weapon, I mean, he was awful. He got benched for a little bit.
Well, Troy and I talked about that off the air.
I mean, he had a good point on him. You know, he was trying to win the argument against me that, you know, some running backs are better.
Yeah,
but they benched him, man. They still won the game without
C.J. Anderson. Looked perfectly fine.
Was he first pick in the draft, top five or something?
Gurley
was second or third.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
He was top five.
I'm hearing he was third.
Yeah, he was pretty high. So he was making his argument that running backs are just a dime a dozen. So.
Or you shouldn't draft one in the first round.
I don't know if I said it or you said it, but nonetheless, we'll leave it at that.
Just claim it, Fred. Just claim it.
No, I don't think Troy disagrees with me as much as he might have said on the air. All right. Go ahead.
I do disagree with you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all right.
Some backs can get you five. Some can get you 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
which one's Michelle?
He can get you 15.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was worth every penny.
Well, it also seems like, I mean, Goff is a guy who can be wildly inconsistent, too. I mean, the one thing about Patrick Mahomes is that he's unflappable. I mean, he came out after the second half,
first half, he was tight.
But doesn't that say a lot about who he is? Is that you can get kind of shaken up at the beginning, but the mental toughness to be out there in really your first starting year and just kill it on that opening drive.
In the first half, he was better in the second half last night.
Yeah. What I'm saying is to be able to be that kind of mentally tough after getting knocked around, or at least getting confused during the first half, and then be able to light it up in the second half, I think says something. Whereas Jared Goff, he's one of these guys that I've seen a couple games where he's just been off for the entire game. And I haven't watched the all 22 as to why, but he just seems inconsistent.
I think Mahomes just seems like the more stable quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that's probably more capable of just blowing the doors off of your team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know Goff has put up some huge numbers in some of these games, and I think that he was at Kansas City in the Chiefs game. Wasn't
it? That game was awesome.
50-something points.
One of the best games of the year.
So, yeah, yep. I mean, he can light it up too, but I just think that Mahomes is just probably the more the more stable quarterback of the two.
So does that mean the game plan's basically the same? You take away the run and make Goff beat you?
For the most part. I think, yeah, you got to make – I think you make Goff beat you in this one. You know, because, you know, I they can give it to Todd Gurley. They can give it to C.J. Anderson.
By the way, Gurley will get you 50, and Anderson will only get you 5.
And by the way, C.J. Anderson.
Anderson might get you 8 or 9.
Okay.
I put him in between somewhere.
C.J. Anderson, by the way, just redoing his body. All of a sudden, he's
Was he always that big?
No, he wasn't always that big.
No, I was just thinking he must have gained about 20 pounds in there
all
somewhere.
All in the butt.
Yeah.
That's correct.
The man's been doing some squats. He just said,
look at that butt running the ball through there.
Yeah. Oh, he used to 20 pounds. He must. I think he put on a lot more than that. And I think it might have been by design. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll finish things up with Troy Brown. I was on a Chicago radio station that Chicago's a big market. Not such a great talent.
All I know is that Friday night I saw an Instagram post by Fred. And he posted a picture of the two hosts on there, and underneath it was a very foul rant about how they treated Fred after he hung up the phone.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I was like, Emilio, I had to hear this.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Let's see it.
Fred gets on there, and just because he doesn't like, I think they wanted like Fred to be the, oh, yeah, Patriots in your face guy. And he's not, as you know, because he hates Sonny Michel.
Yeah.
they basically want him to be Scott Zolak.
Oh,
no, but here's the deal.
And then as soon as Fred gets off the phone, they just start crapping all over Fred.
And by the way, and then challenging my delivery and challenging that I said I'm not a Patriot fan. And by the way, you know what works really well is like just cheerleading. That's a great thing because, you know, Francesa has made a career of cheerleading. Felger, you know, fails because he's negative. I mean, like, what are you doing? How boring would that be for 4 hours?
Fred, it's great radio.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, who's that?
Boston. Kiss my ass twice.
That's right, Bob Fesco.
Works for him.
That's our Kansas City
morning
friend.
Morning drive in Kansas City, man.
I agree with everything he's saying.
Pompous mountains and Maine.
That's right.
That guy's from New Jersey, and all of a sudden he's Captain Chiefs.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. The mountains are pompous.
The chowderheads are melting down, and they're wondering why, you know, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
Yeah, they wanted me to come on and be like, because the guy after me, like, was a spaz. So they wanted me to come on, and I knew what I was talking about. I gave them answers to all the questions, but they thought I was being too lackadaisical. And they asked if I cared. They said, do you want the Patriots to win? I said, I don't care.
That's not what they wanted.
And then,
sure.
And then I said, you know, if they stop the government shutdown, then I do.
I don't care.
It's because you don't have to, because Fred was like, we'll play. Well, I've pulled it. It's awesome. These guys, they just crapped all over Fred and he was gone.
Totally. Yeah.
And they're not very good at doing it.
No.
Which makes it even better.
Yeah, that was a high outside one.
Thatcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Thatcher and Rich.
I don't know, Fred, where I saw that story, but the whole thing with the shutdown and how the TSA is going to be if anyone's going to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. I mean, right now, everyone knows Atlanta's the worst.
Already.
Yeah. There's 3-hour waits from what people are reporting. And even if you have TSA pre, they're saying it's upwards of like an hour and a half. Now, I heard a story, and I have to find out where it is. I'm trying to find right now. But this weekend, I believe someone was reporting that the TSA worker's second paycheck that they would miss is this Friday. And if the shutdown isn't done and they don't get paid by this Friday, there was talk about there being a complete strike isn't the right word, but just the TSA agents are going to refuse to show up.
Yeah.
If they're not paid by this Friday, then that's 2 missed paychecks.
A month.
And then it sounds like all hell is going to break loose. I guess you're going to have to get private companies to come in and do the TSA work. I know that apparently they're already trying to get people from other cities, TSA agents from other cities, to come in and work for Hartsfield. But this could be a nightmare.
From other cities. They're not getting paid either, right?
I don't think so.
Why would I travel?
That is one of the few stories I am seeing right here in front of me is that they're bringing them in. But whether or not they just don't show up.
I'm not getting paid in Nashville. Let me go to Atlanta and not get paid, too.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I know that several airports are been forced to close some of its security checkpoints. But Hartsfield, as I said, if you've never been to Hartsfield before, it's not like you can go and drive to a gate and go in and there's like 7 different gates. It's one big gate. So if you're backed up on that, I mean, you are screwed.
No doubt.
So
good.
88 minutes right now is the average in Atlanta. 88 minutes to get through. And that's not the day after the Super Bowl. So they're saying that normally 60 to 80,000 people go through Hartsfield security. Mm-hmm. However, on they're calling it like some name like Mega Monday or whatever, the day after the Super Bowl, they're predicting anywhere from 110 to 120,000 people going through.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Have fun with that. Yeah, I plan on driving.
Yeah,
it's
16.
Well, you'll be home before we are.
This morning. Catch an Uber to Atlanta from here. How much would that be?
Well,
you know what? I would hire a car to take me to Knoxville and see you fools later.
Go to Birmingham. Fly to Birmingham. That's like an hour away, I think.
Yeah, Knoxville's two and a half. I can go there and then get stuck somewhere else. All right. Well, listen, it should be interesting.
Go to my mama's house 2.5 hours away.
There you go.
We'll see my mama.
I'm glad that you're inviting me. Thank
yeah,
you.
Come on by, man.
I will. Yeah. Why not?
A lot of fried foods down there.
Oh, you know I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar. All right, Troy. Thank you so much. Look forward
Appreciate
to
it,
seeing
man.
You.
We will see you next week in Atlanta.
We'll see you next week in Atlanta.
All right.
You guys' old stomping ground, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 8 years I spent there.
You care about the Atlanta Falcons winning the Super Bowl? You care about that?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I was just teasing with the Chicago. Like,
no, I know.
Guys, yeah.
No. I didn't adopt any of the teams from Atlanta.
Did you cry when they lost?
I should have, knowing that I was going to be at a mall for a week. All right.
All right, man, thank you.
Have a good time, Laura. Right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From Town Fair Tire Studios, this is the flagship station of the AFC champion New England Patriots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.